just recorded that whole first segment and not even pressed record. Oh my god. You can tell it's been a hot sec since we recorded one of these episodes. Welcome back to Starting from the Pits, One for the Road. This morning we are on a chaotic, oh my god, I feel sick at what's coming down the road. Chaotic drive to work because for some reason this road is so busy and it's literally never busy. I mean, you've seen episodes before and we've never had cars on this road, so this is fun. I'm going. I've not had much luck with my car as of late. The other day I curved the wheel coming up my own drive, which sent me through the roof, if I'm being honest. I was really not a nice person that afternoon. I tried my best to be though, because my mum and dad's wedding anniversary and I was just like, I'm done. I'm so done. What is going on? Why is it so busy? I got out of the car and someone was like, oh, it's not that bad. You could probably leave that. I was like, don't talk to me. Don't even talk to me, because that's going to send me through the roof. I'm not okay right now. And then the other day I was reversing into the garage, as I do every single day. And for my car to fit in the garage, you have to go a bit beyond the beepers. Like, because I've got parking sensors, you have to go a bit beyond it being flatlined. And I went a bit too far and I've cracked the back of it. So, which is ironic, because when you look at the crack, it's right next to one of the parking sensors. And it's like, come on, come on. So I did that on a ladder, which has now been removed from the garage. So yeah, that's how I'm loving life in this car. The more annoying thing is that I never did anything to my Mazda. Like, I never did anything. Somebody else went into the side of me, but I never did anything to my Mazda. But anyway, I cannot believe how busy it is down here this morning. I feel like it's gonna bite me on the arse coming this way for some reason. Anyway, should we start this episode? So at the start of the week, maybe it was last week. I don't know when it was, but anyway, I asked you guys a question. I've started this question of the week thing, which I think is quite a fun little series, I guess. So question of the week is, if you were to own a racing team, what series would you race it in and what would you call it? And I don't know if this is telling of my audience nowadays or this is just the way that people feel about it, but I think like one or two people said Formula One. Everybody else was saying endurance racing, sports car racing, they do IndyCar. Nobody said Formula E, which I thought was quite interesting. So yeah, I think there was a lot of people saying that they'd rather do the feeder series, and I don't know whether that's because people think that they'd find it easier to get into it. There was a few GT World Challenges, there was a few World Challenge, is that what it's called? World Cup, World Challenge? A few British GTs, IMSA, WEC, ELMS. So yeah, there was quite a few people saying more sports car, and that brought me to thinking, well, maybe my audience is changing, so maybe we need to be discussing endurance racing more and sports car racing. So that is exactly what we're going to do. Now, I will say, I have put that camera in the very wrong place. But I will say, obviously, this podcast was started because I didn't know much about Formula One. I feel like I'm starting all over again. I don't know a lot about sports car racing and endurance racing. I am learning. I am trying my best. I'm getting better with things of like BOP, or BOP as I like to call it. It's a little BOP. I understand that and why it happens. Obviously, I've had drivers on and they're helping me be educated about it, but I do have to have some level of knowledge to be able to interview them as well. And just the history of the sport, really. I'd like to know a bit more about, you know, how it came about, how endurance racing sort of influences other racing, why people go and race in endurance racing, what makes Le Mans so special, and other races like Daytona, why is that such a special one? I understand it's a 24-hour race, but I'm sure there's more history behind it, and Sebring as well. Like, I spoke to Ben Barnico, as you would have heard in the last episode, and he was saying like there's more history behind Sebring, and I really want to know more as to why these places are so special, but also learning the rules and regulations, because there is a lot. It gets confusing, especially when cars can unlap themselves and things to do with like lead laps, etc. So I think what's going to be a good thing is I've joined a few groups on Reddit, and they all seem to ask questions that I'm asking. So I think it'd be quite good to jump on Reddit, read out some questions, and then maybe have co-host of somebody, and they can help me out and answer some questions and understand it a bit more. So that is the plan so far. That being said, this weekend just gone was the European Le Mans Series round one in Barcelona, and it was 4 hours. I'll be honest, I didn't watch the full 4 hours because I actually had stuff to do that morning, unfortunately. But I watched a couple of hours of it. I think I watched the first hour and a bit, and then the last hour or so. And you know what? I really enjoy it. I think that's why I love endurance racing, because you can just jump in and out of it whenever you like, and there's always going to be good racing. And I think in the ELMS series this year is going to be really good because they've taken the restrictions off the LMP2s. Well, yeah, they've taken the restrictions off the LMP2s, and also they've got rid of tyre blankets, which I think is a really interesting like concept, because I think they were considering doing that in Formula One, but they're not anymore. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that kind of affects the performance, because when I spoke to Manuel, he was sort of saying one of the biggest changes you have to make when you go into endurance racing from single seaters is you have to remember that you're in that car for the next few hours, and you can't just go over and overtake people like that. You don't need to warm your tyres up immediately. They take a lot longer to warm up. And that first sort of getaway from the checkered flag is not as detrimental as it is in your single seaters, because it's not a 20-minute sprint race. You don't need to just get on it immediately. With endurance racing, it's all about the strategy behind it and how you're going to make the race work to your advantage, because at the end of the day, like Manuel said, you've got to let the race come to you. You can't try and, I don't know, it's hard to explain it, especially when I don't know what words to use properly, and I don't want to use something and then A, misinform you guys, and B, look like an idiot. But yeah, you just have to let the race come to you. You can't try and manipulate the race. That's the word I was looking for. You've just got to let it come to you. So you've just got to do your best with the circumstances that you're given, which I think is really good, because it feels more like a race then. It doesn't feel like, oh, well, that person's doing X, Y, and Z, and they're not doing this. And it feels more like just racing. I can't explain it, but it just does. One thing I will say that I don't know if I'm a fan of it or not, is the whole balance of performance thing. Because I understand it makes it more of a level playing field, and, you know, it makes the race more exciting because everyone's a lot closer. But also, it then feels like, why would teams start trying? Why would they bother making a bigger, better, faster car when they're just going to get slashed with balanced performance? And it's just a bit like, what's the point then in creating these incredible hypercars, say, for example, in work, when they're just going to get leathered with bop? I'm just going to call it bop. Also, I need to know, are we WEC or WEC watchers? Are we ELMS or ELMS? Because I'm a WEC watcher, but I'm an ELMS watcher. And it's like IMSA. We don't call IMSA IMSA, do we? I don't think I've ever known anybody call it IMSA. But yeah, I think it's going to be really exciting. And for those who haven't watched it before, I think it's really good for you to just sit down and sort of just take it all in. You don't have to commit to the full 4 hours, 24, 12, however many hours the race is. You don't have to commit to the full thing. It's just quite nice to have it on in the background and occasionally drop in, listen to the conversations that are being had. And yeah, I'm not going to say I'm going to be a hardcore viewer. I am going to try and watch every single race, all the way through, maybe not. But I want to be able to get a general gauge of what is going on and the main highlight points, I think. And what was really nice about the European Le Mans series, actually, in Barcelona, was that as soon as the race was finished, they then did a highlight reel, which, A, fair play to the production team. That is some graft you're putting in there. And B, like, it just helps. If you've not watched the full thing, it helps you get an idea of why certain people were placed in certain places, why they've got certain penalties, etc. And yeah, it just gave you a nice roundup of the full race. So I really appreciated that, actually. I need a drink. So yeah, ELMS, IMSA, WEC, I'm just loving life watching these races. But yeah, for anybody who's not watching and you want to know who to support, I'll tell you who I'm supporting. You can make your own judgment after watching it. So in WEC, I am supporting Portia Penske, obviously. Now I feel like I'm going to make a bit of an idiot of myself now because I can't remember who is in WEC and who's in IMSA. I think they're both in WEC. Yeah, basically, Porsche Penske. These are the teams I'm supporting. Can't remember who's in which, but these are the teams I'm supporting. So, Porsche Penske. I do love that Cadillac hypercar purely because of its switch from hybrid to V8, I think it is. Sounds unbelievable. Who else are we loving life with? BMW. I love the look of their car. I love the look of the BMW hypercar. I think it looks so cool. It kind of looks like one of the pigs from Angry Birds. Which I think is really cool. It's like a big Hoover. So I think that's really cool. Also here for AO Racing with the Rexy dinosaur car. Can't not love that. They also have Spike as well, but I think Spike is cool. Yeah, I'm here for AO Racing, to be honest. I just love their cars. I think they're so cool. Gradient Racing, Tatiana Calderon and her team, her squad. I think they're just so cool. 3 out of 4 drivers are all women. Obviously, you've got Iron Dames as well. They are badass. They did amazing at ELMS this weekend. It was just down to, I think there was like a wheel nut or something that was loose, and they were leading. They got pole, they were on lead, and literally within like half an hour to go, the car had to pull over and be taken away because its wheel nut was loose. I just felt so bad for them. But yeah, that's another thing I love about this endurance racing business. It is a lot more even between males and females. I'm not saying it's like 50-50, but we're talking more 70-30, which is better than 100-0. So yeah, really appreciating the fact that there's more women at top level. And you know what? They are performing really, really well as well. And obviously I'm not surprised by that because I know how good women are. But I think a lot of people are very shocked by the fact that they are in like the top scoring teams, which you shouldn't be. Women can race too. Not me, but women can race. who else are we looking out for in endurance racing? Obviously, Panis Racing in European Le Mans Series. It's got Manuel in it, who I've spoken to recently. And obviously, Arthur Leclerc and Charles Malessi. Charles is very, very well... I cannot think of the word to save my life. Well-respected European endurance racer. Oh my God, what is going on this morning? Why is there so much traffic? What the hell? Yeah, Charles Malessi is a very well-respected racing driver in the endurance scene. Obviously, Arthur's very new to this endurance racing, which when I saw that he put that fastest lap in on the day, like he got the fastest times on the testing day, I was like, fair play, fair enough. And then Manuel, he's been in it for a few years now, so he's, you know, like the middle person, I guess. You've got Charles, who's up here, Manuel, who's been in it for a few years but not quite at the same level as Charles, and then you've got Arthur, who's brand new to it all. Another team that I am very much enjoying is Cool Racing. They won this weekend the European Le Mans Series. I love what they do with the social team. I feel like they're on it. They know what they're doing in this. They show behind the scenes. They've been doing a few like what to look out for at European Le Mans Series and things like that. So I think they're a really good team if you are wanting to get into it because they have a lot of content on their socials that keeps you up to date with a lot of things. So yeah, I love Cool Racing. Who else do we enjoy? That's all I can really think of for now that I'm really rooting for. I did used to love the Corvette team. However, they sold a car, which was so out of the blue. So another good thing, if you want to get into endurance racing, a page I would recommend you following is called Only Endurance, and then join their broadcast channel. I usually hate a broadcast channel because it feels so forced upon. However, I do really want my own. I check it every single day to see if I can have a broadcast channel. But they're literally on it with the news of endurance racing. Like it's as soon as something is announced, it's there. So when I first saw that Corvette car was being sold, I was like, what the heck? I didn't even know you could sell race cars midway through the season. They've just backed out, basically. So I thought I was like, sorry. So yeah, it was rude for Corvette. However, can't do that anymore because they don't exist. Now, obviously, this podcast did start as a Formula One podcast, so I have to talk a little bit about it. In all honesty, though, I can't really remember much that's been happening. I've seen a lot of rumours. Carlos is going to Mercedes. I've seen a lot of those rumours. How much of that is true, I don't know. I really would love to see him in that Red Bull seat personally, but, you know, I think he'd suit the black suits, though, of Mercedes, so maybe I wouldn't be that mad. Charles Leclerc's announced his first ice cream brand. I want to try that. I loved that campaign that he did for it. And Charles Leclerc sat there saying, why resist? I mean, it's not really hard to, is it? I wouldn't resist that. So yeah, that was a great campaign that he did for that, and all we need now is, I mean, as you saw on my Instagram the other day when my mum and dad were in New York, they saw a Red Bull van right outside of Neat Burger. And all we need now is a Lek ice cream? A Lek ice cream store right next to it. That's all we needed, and the Holy Trio was there. So yeah, loved that. That was quite funny. I cannot get over how busy the roads are today, by the way. I know I've said that about 3 times, but it's queuing. I'm usually at work by now. But yeah, Formula One. Quite nice to see Carlos win. Somebody other than Max. I cannot remember any of these races. Feels like it's been ages since we've had a race. I think it's China this weekend. It's the first time we've been here in about 5 years, so that should be interesting to see. McLaren have been putting up like before and afters of like how Lando and Oscar looked 5 years ago when we last raced in China. Oscar looks like an absolute baby. Max, Lando looks like a child. And yeah, how much can change in 5 years? I don't really know much about the Chinese Grand Prix. I can't say I have much recollection of it, nor do I know much about the track. So I'm quite excited. It feels like a new place for me. And yeah, I don't know whether it's fast track, who it suits the most. I guess though, whoever it suited 5 years ago, it will be completely different now because regulations have changed. Cars look entirely different than they did 5 years ago. So yeah, I feel like we're going into this a bit blind, and I'm excited to see who does well, to be honest. So that should be really good. Where else have we been recently? Oh, we have to talk about Valtteri Bottas's Uber Eats Deliveroo, I can't remember what it was, campaign. I mean, I'm a bit late to the party in discussing this, but what an icon he is. I love the fact that for the Australian Grand Prix, you had Daniel front and centre, Oscar just a bit behind, and then you had Valtteri. Like, he's not even Australian, but it just made sense. He is Australian at heart. I actually am convinced that he is. And the way that Valtteri's personality has grown over the last couple of years whilst being at stake, what we call it, Sauber, I think it's been such a beautiful journey that we've watched. We have watched him blossom into this mullet loving Aussie, and we can only have Tiffany to thank for that. We love Tiffany. What else do we have to discuss? Oh my god, guys, Esteban Ocon liked my post. Not to fangirl, because I absolutely was fangirling, but basically, that post that I did with Gabriel about Le Mans being run on wine, which we need to have a moment to discuss that, because that is so cool. Esteban liked it. Like, the Esteban, blue tick Esteban, liked that post, and I was just like, I am so buzzing right now. I was so excited about that. So that was quite cool. And I immediately text Gabriel. I was like, oh my god, Esteban liked it. He was like, yeah, we grew up together. And I was like, don't burst our bubble. He liked it because it's cool and he appreciated my post, please. what's it called? Le Mans being fueled by wine is so impressive. It's given me an excuse to drink more wine. Which, by the way, I've only just started liking. I don't know if anybody remembers, but when I've spoken to James Blair in the past, I've discussed with him, like, what wine would I like? Because I don't like wine, but I like wine now. I need to go back to that interview and listen to what his recommendations were so I can actually go and try one now. But yeah, basically, when fuel is made, so Total Energies create all the fuel for the World Endurance Championship, and I think it's now, it's in the GT World Challenge. I remember seeing that when I was watching it. It's in that, and it's also in European Le Mans Series. I'm not too sure about IMSA. But anyway, Total Energies basically produced this fuel way back in 2022, by the way, which I think is very, very innovative for something like this. Like, why have Formula One not done this yet? But basically, local vineyards in France, it initially started as they were fueling Le Mans, I think. Local vineyards in France, basically the byproducts from the wine that they create is then taken to their factory and turned into like a, I don't know if it's classed as a synthetic fuel or just a sustainable fuel, but it's basically transformed into a more sustainable fuel, which I think is just so interesting. And then it just, it's a 100% sustainable fuel. So that just means that the World Endurance Championship is just that little bit more sustainable. Yes, they still travel around the world. I don't think you're ever going to get out of that. Like, we're always going to have people moving about and have somewhat of a carbon footprint. Like, you can't even call Formula E fully sustainable. Do you know what I mean? But I do think this is a great way, because those cars sound amazing as well. This is a great way for us to not necessarily go down the fully electric route, but then you can still race with the sound and the noise of racing. Because I will admit, I love Formula E, and I do think the cars sound really, really cool, but there is just something about an engine, do you know what I mean? So I think that is a really good alternative for potentially the future of racing in terms of sustainable fuels and making the series and racing more sustainable. Like I said, I don't think racing will ever be fully sustainable, but it is a good route that we could go down, I do think. I do wonder though, like, why haven't we introduced something like that to Formula One? Also, what confuses me is the fact that we call this the hybrid era of Formula One. Why is it called the hybrid era? Are they actually hybrids? Or is it one of those where it's got like 10 miles of electric range and we can call it a hybrid? Do you know what I mean? That really confuses me a little bit. So if somebody could tell me why we call it the hybrid era, that would be really appreciated. I think that's mostly what I've got to discuss this week. I don't think there's too much more that I can currently think of in my little brain while I'm driving to work. I'm usually sat at my desk by now, so this is going great. not the greatest start to the day, but yeah. Really enjoyed recording this again, actually. I like being in my car and just talking rubbish to you guys. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please remember to give it a rating, give it a review if that's what you like to do. Comment, God knows, I don't know. Do the usual stuff. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode with Ben. And if anybody has any comments that they would like me to talk about, any topics that you'd like me to discuss, I'll be more than happy to take that on board and have a chat about that in future. So I will see you in the next episode.